What if pressing pause on the AI boom fast-forwards another threat? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. We've been talking this week about the call to slow down artificial intelligence development. There are those who say we need time to mitigate the potential harms, those who think the discourse overhypes this tech, and those like Will Reinhart. He's a senior fellow at Utah State University's Center for Growth and Opportunity, and he argues a pause now could do more harm than good.
So I think the big harm that people are worried about is that effectively China and actors within China would be able to use the time period to integrate this technology and upgrade it for their own uses. Specifically, it'll give them the ability to catch up and start deploying these technologies at scale. I think the other big part of this harm is actually much more of a branding harm. There is this call for a pause and a call to effectively create a set of standards for the industry, but no guidelines on what those standards should be. So it creates the sense that there is a solution set out there that if we were to just pause for 6 months, that we would be able to actually implement them.
And what do you make of the push for regulation at this time?
The interesting thing about the pause is that there was a line within the letter that effectively said, well, if companies don't do this voluntarily, governments of the world should step in and implement a 6 month moratorium. What I think is interesting about that is the backstop of government regulation and the government regulation angle within all of this is that, you know, we're having this conversation about ChatGPT and the related Transformers technology. What's going on simultaneously is that Europe has been going through its own process on an AI, regulatory act. And it doesn't really seem that ChatGPT actually fits into the categories that they've laid out. It doesn't seem as though ChatGPT naturally would be regulated under their act. And the Europeans are creating kind of a categorization system where, you know, you have something that's completely banned, that's one category, something that would be regulated, that's another category, and something that would be unregulated, and that'd be the third category. So these three categories kind of define all technologies, and ChatGPT really seems to fit into both, a regulated and an unregulated category. So to me, it really seems as though previous efforts to regulate AI really don't apply all that well. And that worries me that we're trying to rush to either regulate or ban something that we don't really have a full clear and grip on just how these things work in practice and also what should be the regulatory system.
The European example that you gave, really illustrates kind of a central problem with regulating technology, especially when it's moving as quickly as AI is right now, of how the scale of movement in government and regulation and legislation compared to, how fast things move in tech. I mean, what kind of problems arise from that and trying to marry the two?
I think the big problem that I've seen in the last couple of years in trying to fit technologies into a certain kind of regulatory structure is that oftentimes they don't naturally fit within those structures. For Facebook and for Google, there's been conversations about trying to make it very similar to like telephone systems, which I don't think naturally apply. You've seen this idea of trying to apply old ideas of regulation onto new technologies. And for better or worse, we need to rethink what these regulatory structures should look like. For me personally, I think what that really comes down to is probably something that puts the emphasis on the force on generally the Federal Trade Commission and product safety commissions that have the ability to go after bad nefarious actors. So to me, the real way to deal with this is the way that we've dealt with problems with large companies in the past, which is the FTC and the Department of Justice bring cases if they have. If they've harmed consumers. To me, that really probably is the only way that in the long term, we're actually going to be able to create the best products for individuals and ensure that consumers have all the benefits, but are saved effectively from the worst harms.
We are already seeing some harms from these generative AI tools happening in the world. Creatives saying that they're already losing work to these kinds of tools. I mean, how do we address some of these harms without regulation?
It's a very difficult problem that I don't think that we should be comfortable assuming that there's easy solutions to. But at the end of the day, what ends up happening almost universally over time is that we see that people transition into new jobs and that, you know, generally everyone does better. Consumers do better. People make more money. Productivity goes up. The big problem is what happens between here and, you know, the near future. And that transition, I'm not going to deny, that transition is oftentimes very bumpy. I think we need much better understandings of how to retool, you know, industries and economies as they are shifting into newer technologies. This is a kind of a fundamental problem that we're seeing, you know, writ large in the United States.
And some companies in the space, OpenAI included, have, you know, said that there should be regulation. Often this can sort of level the playing field when there are conflicting incentives in the market.
Yeah, and that's, it's interesting because I haven't seen any. I know they've said that they want this, but what exactly does it look like? And to me, that's probably the most important part of all of this, right? You can say, hey, we want regulation, but you kind of need to lay out what that regulation should look like, or, you know, should have some understanding of what that new world, why that new world is different than the current world. I tend to go towards the tried and true things that have worked in the past. It looks like the Department of Justice, it looks like the Federal Trade Commission going after bad actors when they harm consumers. We have to recognize and realize that there are benefits to these technologies, but there are downsides, and that we have to deal with them as they come to us.
Will Reinhart at Utah State Center for Growth and Opportunity. As I mentioned, this isn't the first time we've discussed the call for a 6-month pause in the development of AI. Earlier this week, we talked to Gary Marcus, an AI expert and one of the authors of the book Rebooting AI, Building Artificial Intelligence We Can Trust. He's also one of the now thousands of people who signed the Future of Life's letter calling for that pause in AI experimentation. I asked him about national security concerns around pausing AI development, in particular the risk Will mentioned about China leapfrogging U.S. progress during the hypothetical 6-month downtime. Here's what Gary Marcus had to say.
People use GPT-4 to write, you know, drafts of recommendation letters, and it's really handy for that. If you could do that 100 times better, would that mean you can take over the world? Like, what is the actual thing that you would do with this system that we know is unreliable, can't even play a decent game of chess without making up the moves? Like, you're not going to be able to use that for strategic planning. I'm not panicked over that. Like, I think people are imagining that they're going to have this oracle that is going to be able to solve climate change or build new kinds of missiles, or I don't even really understand the specific worry. If I saw a specific thing where there was some giant strategic objective that could be accomplished with this technology, I would understand that argument against the moratorium, but I don't actually see it.
You can hear more from Gary Marcus and the rest of our coverage of the AI boom. It's at our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. Jesus Alvarado and Daniel Shin also produce our show. Lydia Morell is our intern. Becca Weinman is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.